Hi, so the Bible reading tonight is Luke 5, verses 27 to 31. So Luke 5, verses 27 to 31. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance."
Why don't we welcome Tamika up?
You!
Tamika, I know not everyone, a bunch of people will know you here. You've been pretty involved in lots of people's life over a number of years, particularly in your capacity as a youth leader, a key leader, an intern. Why don't you tell us a little bit about where God has you at the moment in terms of study and stuff, and what brought you here tonight?
So I'm studying at Morling Bible College, and I'm doing a diploma in ministry and I'm doing a preaching class, so I'm here because it's part of my assignment, but also because God wants me here, I guess.
You would have been here anyway. super looking forward to hearing from you tonight. I know you poured heaps of your heart and work into this, and I'm just going to pray for you, if that's okay, as you share with us. So let's pray for Tamika. God, again, we just thank you for who Tamika is, and we just pray over her. Holy Spirit, would you come and empower her and strengthen her, calm any nerves that she has, so that she might boldly proclaim the good news of your love and grace to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Okay, so I just thought I'd start with a bit of context in Luke. So this is probably the start of Jesus' ministry. We see in chapters 4 and 5, kind of before the story, Jesus starting to perform his miracles, and just verses before, he starts to call his first disciples. You wouldn't expect that Jesus, a rabbi, a great teacher, who has been performing miracles, causing a bit of a commotion around, that he would call the top-notch straight-A students. You know, the kind of guys that were probably students of other religious teachers or spending time at the synagogue. But the kind of guys that Jesus invites to be his disciples are the opposite. They are the fishermen, they are the tax collectors, they're the misfits, and they're the unlikely. I don't think I've ever heard anything more comforting. Like I shared before, I'm at Bible college, and the thing about Bible college is they sit you in class with like people who are doing like very different degrees to you. So you could be doing a diploma and sitting next to someone who's doing like a grad dip or a master's. You could be sitting next to someone who's been a pastor for years and years. Like this year, I've been in a class with Todd, and I just think that's not fair. Like, I'm just starting out and he's been doing this for years. So you end up in classes with these top-notch students, you end up with people who are like those ones who 2 weeks before an assignment's due, they're like, "Hey, like, how are you going with the assignment?" And then you awkwardly have to be like, "Oh, like, I'm just finishing another assignment and then I'll start." And then they look at you like, "Oh my goodness, like, how have you not looked into the assignment?" You end up in classes with them. And then, after that kind of conversation, they end up saying, "So, like, how'd you find the reading this week?" And I just think, like, it's Tuesday morning. I got Pippa to school at 9:15. I got her there with lunch, in a clean uniform, with her library bag, without a tantrum, and I end up at college at 9:30. I haven't looked at the reading. Anyway, but instead I just say to them, "Oh, I'm just going to duck to the bathroom before class starts and avoid awkwardness." So at Morling, you have these top-notch students, and then you have me, just starting out in ministry without years of experience, who's thankful for the top-notch student who reminds her assignment's due in 2 weeks. I'm probably not the top-notch. I'm the misfit. I'm the unlikely. So in this passage, we hear about Levi. What do we know about him? Not really a whole heap. Luke just tells us he was a tax collector. So what do we know about tax collectors? They were a bit different to what tax collectors are like in today's day. They were probably very unpopular in society. They were marginalised because they were greedy. They were known for ripping most people off, and they'd take large bribes and take their fair share of money. Most tax collectors traded in their reputation in society for financial security. They found their worth and their value from their financial gain. But not only were they greedy, but they were Jewish people ripping off the Romans. Now, a little history lesson, not that I'm very good at history. The Romans invaded the Jewish land at this time. So when this story is taking place, Levi, this Jewish man, has gone to work for the Romans, which is essentially betraying his people, seeing what has happened to his people and his land and siding with the Romans just to make a buck. So you can imagine why he would be a little bit unpopular. So now that we have a bit of context into the little we know about Levi, let's jump into the passage. So if you want to read with me from verse 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. This invitation Jesus gives to him is an invitation for the unlikely, where we see a radical invitation and a radical response. A radical invitation from Jesus to follow him, which is then met with a radical response from Levi. What does he do? We read, he got up, he left everything, and he followed him. That's pretty wild, right? Levi is sitting in his tax booth, minding his own business, going about his normal day-to-day life. And what happens? Jesus, kind of out of nowhere, comes up to him. And what? He doesn't even say hello. He just says, "Follow me." Jesus comes to this guy, an outcast to society, probably one of the last people that any Jewish religious leader or teacher would even consider asking to be their student. And what does he do? He goes straight up to him and asks Levi to follow him. But if we thought that was a bit wild, we read what happens next. Levi, the tax collector, who's minding his own business, gets up, leaves everything, and follows him. He's willing from this one invitation and call from Jesus to leave everything behind and follow him. Levi swaps his financial security for security in Jesus. He simply left his booth and followed Jesus. Now, we can assume that because of the stories prior to this story in Luke, Levi may not have known a whole lot theologically about Jesus, but he would have had an idea of who this Jesus guy was. In the stories prior, we see Jesus performing miracles, we see him healing the sick and paralyzed, we see him driving out demons. Jesus would have been causing a massive commotion. The crowds were starting to swarm. In the story prior, Jesus is teaching in a house full of people, and a paralyzed man and his friends had to cut a hole in the roof just to get in to see him. So Levi's heard the stories. He may have even seen or heard of Jesus in himself. He's super captivated. He's intrigued by this man who does miracles, who forgives sins. And what does Levi want? He wants in. But never for even a moment would a disgraced Jewish tax collector even assume that he would be allowed to speak, let alone be a follower, a disciple, or a student of a great teacher like Jesus. If anything, he'd probably be hiding in the background. He'd be a bit like his mate Zacchaeus, up in a tree, trying not to be seen or recognised, trying to get a glimpse of this great man from afar. But there's no way he would go to Jesus. But what's really cool? Jesus comes to him. He just says two simple words, "Follow me." The most surprising, the most unlikely invitation. "Follow me. I want you. Levi, tax collector, outsider, sinner, unlikely. I want you to be my disciple." I feel like it's a bit like me. I'm drawn to Jesus. I want to know him. I want to live a life under him. But just like Levi, I don't really fit the mold. At college, I'm not the smartest person there or the top-notch student. I'm a single mom. I don't have all the knowledge in the world. And never, really ever, would I have thought that Jesus would call me and that he would extend his invitation to me. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're drawn to Jesus, you want to know him, you want to live like him, you want to learn from him, but you just think that invitation isn't for you. Maybe you're new to your faith, or you've only just heard about Jesus. Maybe you don't feel like you fit the mold of the Christians you see around you. Maybe you didn't grow up in a Christian home and you don't know how to live that out. Maybe it's just that you feel like you're the unlikely or like the misfit. The thing is, Levi, He was the unlikely. He was the misfit. He didn't fit the mould. And I can only imagine he would have felt all of those things. But Jesus' invitation was for him. Jesus comes to Levi. He meets him where he is. He comes to his tax booth. He doesn't wait for him to get his act together, to behave a certain way or fit a certain mould. He comes to him and invites him. He says to him, "Follow me." And that invitation is as much for Levi as it is for you, as it is for me, as it is for the unlikely and the misfits. Jesus' invitation is for the unlikely. So Jesus' invitation is not just for those inside our doors, but it's just as much for those outside. Jesus' radical invitation to discipleship, to follow him, is for all people. Not just people who feel comfortable in religious spaces like church and Bible study and youth group, but all those people in our workplaces, in our schools, in our community, our streets, the people who have, the people who don't. It's for the marginalised, it's for those on the fringes. Jesus' invitation extends to the unlikely people, like Levi, like me, and perhaps like you. So now that we see Levi embrace this unlikely invitation to discipleship, what happens next? He steps into his new life of following Jesus, and what does he do? He extends that same invitation to a whole bunch of other unlikely people. If you read with me in verse 29, it says, "Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them." So the first thing Levi does as a disciple of Jesus is hold a banquet for Jesus and all his unlikely friends. It probably wasn't even a very exciting party. A whole bunch of tax collectors, maybe a bit like an accountant's Christmas party or something. But regardless of that, it's an opportunity for other misfits like Levi to hear and accept the invitation of Jesus. This banquet is a demonstration of Levi's transforming heart. Levi is now using his wealth not for himself, but to put a feast on for Jesus with the finest food and wine to honour his guests. But Levi doesn't just invite the disciples or other religious leaders. He invites people who are just like him, a whole bunch of unlikely people and misfits, to come and meet Jesus. There is something super beautiful in that, and how Levi encounters Jesus, and he doesn't just go and get his theological ideas in order and then follow him or wait for Jesus to prove that he's the Son of Man. He simply understands this call to live a life where he's completed in Jesus. And what does he do? He wants to share that with his friends. The Levi at the beginning of this story lived a life that was all about his financial gain. It was all about accumulating his money, not sharing his wealth with people around him. He was greedy. He was so greedy that he would steal from his own people and sacrifice his reputation and honour just to get ahead. But what we begin to see is Levi's heart start to transform. As a follower of Jesus, he becomes like Jesus. He starts to become the kind of person who wants to share his wealth with those around him, but even more, he realises that he's been invited into something far better and far greater than this wealth, and he wants to share that with those around him. So I used to know this guy, and when we first met him, he was a misfit. He was the unlikely. Never in a million years would you have imagined him in a church. In fact, when we first met him, he would party hard, sleep around, and he ended up in church because he was facing jail time. So he was the unlikely. But then he encountered Jesus. Do you know what was so amazing about this guy? He accepted this invitation, and he just began to love and tell everyone about Jesus and the invitation he accepted. He didn't get his Bible knowledge down pat. He was still in trouble with the law, but he was transformed by the grace and the love that God had for him that he went on to share with other misfits like him. He even became a youth leader at some point, and do you know the kinds of kids he led? The misfits, the unlikely, the kids that needed to know Jesus' invitation. So what can we learn from Levi, and what can we learn from my friend? The moment we accept the call to Jesus, the call of Jesus to follow him, and a transformation starts to take place in our hearts, we should also want to extend that invitation to those around us, even the unlikely. We don't have to have our lives completely together or our theology in order or know everything that the Bible says to start sharing this invitation with the unlikely. I think so often, and I know I do this, we limit ourselves to think it's someone else's job to go out and share. Maybe it's the person at Bible college, or their friend, your friend who seems to have all the knowledge, or maybe it's just the person who's more friendly, more of an extrovert. But do you know what? We need to be like Levi. Levi was not concerned about how much he knew or what people thought. Levi probably doesn't even quite get it yet, but he has an encounter with the love of Jesus. He's experienced the amazing grace of Jesus, and for the first time in a long time, he's found acceptance, forgiveness, and freedom, and he just wants others to know. So just as we embrace the invitation to follow Jesus, we extend that invitation to others, just like Jesus invites Levi, and then Levi invites the others, the unlikely. We need to do the same. So, why? Why does Jesus call Levi? Why does Jesus call a sinner? Why does he call the misfits and the outcasts? And not surprisingly, the religious people and the Pharisees begin to ask the same question. So let's have a look from verse 30. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus responds in verse 32, and I think this is the core of what Jesus is saying to us tonight. Read it with me. "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, the irony of this story is that everyone gathered at this banquet with Jesus. Levi, his friends, the disciples, the Pharisees, absolutely everyone at this dinner is a sinner. This powerful line, Jesus says, is not aimed just at Levi or Levi's friends or the misfits or the unlikely, but also rings equally as true to the Pharisees. Jesus has not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Now it's hard, right, to call ourselves sinners. To think of ourselves this way, it's hard to stomach. But do you know what? I think there's actually freedom in giving up our ideas and illusions of self-righteousness and actually stopping for a moment and being real and just honest with the fact that just like Levi, we aren't perfect. We don't have it all together. We have shortcomings. In fact, we're probably more prone to being selfish, prideful, to be greedy, to put ourselves above others. We all know this about ourselves. But here's the thing. If we humble ourselves, when we give up these illusions of self-righteousness, when we stop being like the Pharisees, only then are we able to recognize our need for Jesus, our need for his mercy, his love, and his forgiveness, and his grace. Only then are we able to accept his invitation. And you know what? I'm going to be honest, guys. I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I know I can be greedy. I know I can be selfish. I know I regularly put myself before others. But do you know what's so beautiful? Is that it wasn't till I fully let go of my pride, it wasn't till I fully let go of my self-righteous illusions and humbled myself, was I able to fully accept the invitation Jesus has for me. It was only then that I was able to be transformed by his love and his grace and his mercy. So, looking at this story, we see two different types of people and two different responses. The first group, the Pharisees, the self-righteous, those who look at Jesus and the people he shares his table with and scoff, those who can't let go of their pride, what's their response? Their response to Jesus is to grumble, is to walk away and to live a life according to the law instead of grace. They miss the invitation of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus invites sinners to the table and they were never humble enough to even realize they were one. Then there's a second group, the Levites, those who know they need Jesus, those who know they need grace and forgiveness, those that know that they are sinners. And how does Levi respond? He gets up, he leaves everything behind and follows Jesus. He accepts the invitation to discipleship and steps into a life of transformation. We see his heart begin to be transformed by grace and the invitation he receives. Now he extends it to other misfits like him. This story is one of Jesus inviting the unlikely, an invitation extended across religious, economic, and social status. Jesus' invitation is for you and it's for me. Maybe you're sitting here and you feel like you identify more with the Pharisees. And maybe tonight you need to just let go of your illusion of self-righteousness and recognize your need for grace. Or maybe you're like the Levite, one who has maybe heard about Jesus, seen evidence of his transformation in the hearts around you. Maybe you feel like the unlikely, or that you don't have all your theology in order. And if that's you, what you should take away from this story is that Jesus' radical invitation is just for you. No matter how unlikely you may feel, just like Levi, Jesus is inviting you into a life of transformation. Jesus came to call the sinners, not the righteous. Ultimately, it's an invitation for all of us. To anyone humble enough to recognize their need for Jesus' love and grace and mercy and forgiveness, he invites you, he invites me, and he invites all the unlikely people to the table. Pray with me now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way you so graciously invite us into a life of being disciples under you. We thank you that you come to us and meet us like Levi, where we are, and love us even though we are the unlikely, the misfits, the sinners. Father, I just pray now, whether we are the Levites or the Pharisees in the story, that we would accept your invitation and receive your grace, your mercy, your love, and your forgiveness. I pray as we leave this space that we would all go out and share this invitation with the likely and unlikely, that our friends, our families, our neighbours, our communities would start to encounter you by the transformation in our hearts. I pray that we would see more people hearing and seeing your love and responding to your radical invitation. In your almighty name, amen.